Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from Vassar Brothers Medical Center, the only hospital between Yonkers and Canada offering Makoplasty, the newest robotic surgical system for hip replacement and partial knee resurfacing. health-quest.org/VBMCortho.
Hello once again, and welcome to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. We're joined today by a true hero of our region, Dr. Earl Zimmerman, who is the director of Albany Med's renowned Alzheimer's Center. He specializes in Alzheimer's disease and dementia, and is one of the region's top experts on the neurological disorders of aging. That's very nicely written, but I think he is the top expert on these issues. Dr. Zimmerman earned his medical degree from the University of Pennsylvania, received his clinical and research training at Columbia University, board certified in internal medicine and neurology, and his research interests include new diagnostic methods and treatments for Alzheimer's disease and related disorders. Earl Zimmerman, my old friend, not old in age, but old friend in that we've known each other for a long time. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Alan.
So, Earl, what is hot in dementia, in Alzheimer's?
Well, I think it interests me right now is a blood test we're working on for Alzheimer's disease. There was one reported a few months ago also looking at the lipid composition of the blood of Alzheimer's disease. It looks very promising, and it's about 85% specific and sensitive.
Wow.
The one we're working on with Professor Lednev at UAlbany Physics Department is based on spectroscopy, something called Raman spectroscopy, which is an infrared study of the composition of the serum. And our first study suggests that it's about 95%. Can be 95%.
Did you say 95? Yeah.
95%. Well, sensitive specific. Of course, it's a proof of concept, and we need a much bigger study to further, you know, study this, but it also looks quite promising.
But do we want to know whether we have Alzheimer's? Because I haven't heard you say what's hot is that we found a cure.
I wish I could say that.
Yeah.
We haven't found a cure. Now, it's very difficult to diagnose early stage Alzheimer's disease. It takes a lot of testing, a lot of neuropsychology in some patients. It takes a lot of time examining patients, discussing with the family, doing brain scans, MRI scans we prefer, studying those. And so a lot of time and energy goes into the diagnosis.
So if we're sitting at home right now and say, can't remember where I put my keys and I can't remember a word here and there, if we're doing all of that, have you figured out, what the prima facie indications are that we may have a problem?
We may.
What are the sure signs?
Well, the sure signs, you can't find your car, you forget where you park it, but if you forgot you drove it, that's another story. So a lot of these things, like consider normal aging, although you wonder, forgetting this word. You went to the basement and you went down there, you forgot what you went down there for when you got there.
And forgot to come back up.
Well, forgetting to come back up is another story. But, so these are hard to know how important they are. But if you miss important appointments, you drop your wife off with a hairdresser and you forgot to pick her up, these are kind of disturbing stories.
Okay. So I'll ask you a couple of questions. Lightning round, then we'll start to take calls. When we were talking in the office before, you said that there were some things that become very prognostic about, so that if somebody stops filtering what they say, in other words, if you see an obese person and somebody says, instead of thinking it, now says, "Boy, are you fat," that business of filtering becomes diagnostic, right?
Well, it's very important, and it suggests that the frontal lobe, which is the executive, filters out and stops you from saying, you see somebody, it's overweight, and you call them fat. You don't. Of course you don't. But so this social disinhibition or swearing a lot when you didn't used to swear a lot are indications that the frontal lobe's involved. Now, the longer I practice, the more I realize that in early Alzheimer's disease, not only do you have the typical short-term memory problems, and the spatial problems, forgetting how to get somewhere we're going to drive there, are the most common, and word finding, which is a third. This would be the fourth, would be some kind of a disinhibition, trouble controlling behavior.
I'm afraid I've had it since I was 12 because I have, you know, this disinhibition. You know,
well, you're a special case, Alan. You're not the normal.
I say things. Well, a lot of people on the phone. Is it all right with you, Earl? Can we go there now?
Please.
Okay. Let's go to Ken in Warwick. All right. Ken in Warwick, you're on.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
A question has to do with how it's recommended that as you get older that you continue to use your brain, doing things like crossword puzzles or practicing piano or something. My question is it advantageous if this is already something that you're rather advanced at? So if I'm a pretty good piano player and I keep playing piano, even if I'm learning new pieces and challenging myself with some different repertoire, is that enough of a challenge as opposed to doing something like, you know, learning a foreign language that I have absolutely no background in whatsoever?
You know, the data on this is really pretty limited. I wish I could tell you that, you know, if you learned a lot of new pieces, piano pieces, or new language, or whatever, would improve things. I really don't know. I think the data's out. And the thing about crossword puzzles, there's really no data on crossword puzzles. There's no research on crossword puzzle. It's amazing. I don't like crossword puzzles anyway.
Whatever, me neither. But everybody thinks that they'll help you.
But go look for the literature. There's nothing. There's no testing. I mean, it's just people say that. There's some data on being socially active, playing cards also, and dancing. So some of those social issues have been studied and are helpful.
Mm.
I think exercise is even more important.
You know, tell me about that, because I do exercise an hour every day. That's my only hope, I guess.
Yeah, research, aerobic exercise is preferable. Walking is good, but it's not enough. And so,
well, if you walk fast, that's aerobic.
Well, if you do, yeah, power walking with, yeah, okay, well, that's great. Yeah. So half an hour a day, 5 days a week is what's recommended.
Why not 7 days a week, a day?
I don't know if it's any more or not, but yeah, whatever.
Well, okay. Hey, Ken, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551. Our expert, and get your calls in now because Earl Zimmerman is the guy in our region. Let us go to Ken in Hudson Falls. Okay, Ken, that's the second Ken in a row. I remember that. Go ahead, Ken.
It's a fortunate day for you, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, it is.
I'm calling about my 89-year-old mother, who seems to have all her faculties. She drives relatively well. She works 3 or 4 days a week as a volunteer in a museum as a docent and does research. But her complaint lately, and just this last recently, is she's having issues tasting food. I did a little research to find out about it. She's not on any medications. So I'm wondering if this is typical or if this is a phytonutrient issue or what it could be.
Well, you know, one of the earliest developments in Alzheimer's disease is loss of taste and smell.
Interesting.
And it's been known for a long time. That may precede Alzheimer's disease by some years. So that's all that happens. That's great. At her age, she's at risk for Alzheimer's disease. It's more than 50, probably more than 70. I'm guessing probably more than 70% or more.
If you're 85 years old, is what you're saying, Earl.
It's 50%.
50 to 70% chance you'll get Alzheimer's.
Right.
Amazing. That's amazing.
So it could be. It could be something else. I mean, she has sometimes people with allergies, can't smell and taste very well, and she has allergies. I mean, there might be some other reason.
Hmm.
But she has no symptoms, right, other than that?
I did read where it said that because as you get older, your body does not absorb some nutrients like B12, for example, well, that maybe supplements might be helpful.
Well, maybe. I don't think it had to do with this to taste, but they're a good idea. I recommend some of the vitamins that have been studied in Alzheimer's disease and maintaining memory, and they're B6, B12, and folic acid.
Yeah.
They've actually been studied.
Well, and is there, we're going to let Ken go, but is there anything on the horizon in terms of a cure?
None that I know of.
None. Ken, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. We've got two phones up and three that need somebody on the other end. And you know two that need somebody on the other end. And you'll be able to talk to Dr. Earl Zimmerman. But we have to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support comes from New York Oncology Hematology, offering clinical research trials towards FDA approval of anti-cancer drugs when experience matters most. NewYorkOncology.com for a list of clinical trials. Williamstown Theater Festival, Williamstown, Massachusetts. Their 60th season opening July 2nd with June Moon, directed by Jessica Stone, on the main stage. Box office now open, WTFestival.org. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York. Providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more. Where eyewear is an art. Facebook or visionexceleyecare.com. OMI International Arts Center, Ghent, New York. Presenting Art OMI Weekend with an opportunity to see international art in the country. Saturday and Sunday, July 12th and 13th. Open to the public, artomi.org. And Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York. Specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996. ManixMarketing.com.
And we are back with Dr. Earl Zimmerman. We have one free phone. If you want to use it, I would recommend it. Might change your life. Let's go to Mike in Fort Ann. Okay, Mike, you're on.
Hello, doctor. This came up at a dinner the other night. A family member refused to eat a baked potato that was wrapped in aluminum foil, right. Claiming that there was some correlation between aluminum and Alzheimer's. I was wondering if you can comment on that as far as skin products and also in cooking with aluminum.
But before we do, you have to be honest with us, Mike. Was that someone in your family, your mother-in-law?
No.
Okay. All right. All right. Go ahead, Earl.
Well, about 25 years ago, yeah. I think. Now, time flies. There was a report that from Dr. Pearl, actually, a neuropathologist, that aluminum was accumulating in Alzheimer's disease, Alzheimer's plaques, and unfortunately, that turned to be wrong. There's really no data to support the aluminum and Alzheimer's disease relationship.
Mm.
So go ahead and eat your aluminum covered potatoes.
That's really funny. Go ahead and eat your aluminum. Mike, any other follow-up on that?
That was it. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a lot of ammunition to go back to the family dinner with now. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay. Let's go to Vicki. Okay, Vicki in Pittsburgh. Field.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay, yeah. All right. Thanks, Vicki.
I'd like to talk about Lewy body dementia, which my brother-in-law has had for quite a few years. I wondered if the doctor could speak about Lewy body dementia, how it's different than Alzheimer's, and if there's any possible, any research being done that sounds positive.
Okay, good question. So of the top three dementia types, Lewy body is among those. So
what does that mean, Lewy body? I have a brother named Lewy, so I'm interested.
Lewy's name of a pathologist, L-E-W-Y.
Yeah.
Lewy described, a neuropathologist described the inclusions, little granular inclusions in the cells in Parkinson's disease in the basal ganglia. And it turns out that, which
I'm
is
sorry,
seen
what's
in Parkinson's.
Ganglia again?
A group of cells.
A group of cells.
In the
yeah.
base of the brain, which
okay.
are in part, is involved in Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
So this is associated with a Parkinson's disease pathology. Now, it turns out that other neurons, including cortical neurons, can contain Lewy bodies and can get dementia. So this syndrome, or now disease, is called Lewy body disease. So it's a form of dementia, and it's progressive, and sometimes, and it's characteristically, the clinical syndrome is the following. Dementia, Parkinsonism, REM sleep disorder, that is acting out one's dreams, So they,
what do you mean acting out?
Okay, so when we dream, you know, we dream we're a dog and barking or something, and jump out of bed and start barking like a dog.
Oh boy!
Or fighting somebody, you know, you actually
in your bed.
You start fighting somebody in the bed like your spouse. Or
yes,
yourself.
He has that, and that he'll dream that something's chasing him,
mm-hmm.
and he when his wife had him at home, he would actually try to fight his wife.
Yeah, that's REM sleep disorder, hallucinations. Often visual, often small people or small animals. Clinically, what you see is some Parkinsonism when you examine a patient, as well as dementia. And it's sometimes confused with Alzheimer's disease, sometimes confused with the other dementia group, which is called a temporal dementia group.
Say that again, the other dementia?
The other two, Alzheimer's, which has Parkinsonism later in the course of the disease, and hallucinations later in the course of the disease. Compared to Lewy body, which is the beginning of the disease. And then there's frontotemporal dementias, which have sort of a combination of. So it's got a kind of interesting clinical discernment as to which is what.
Now, Earl, I think a lot of people who are out there would love to know, because somebody says, oh, no, that's not Alzheimer's, they just had dementia. What is the difference between Alzheimer's?
The general term is dementia. That's an awful term anyway. We inherited it from the medieval times, I think, demons or something.
Mm.
But it's used to mean that there's something wrong with cognition, some trouble with memory, judgment, word finding, et cetera. You've lost some kind of a mental function. And if you Google it, you'll find a list of a zillion things, like hundreds of different conditions, like a head injury or stroke. And so it's a complex group of diseases. However, we're talking about the dementias of aging. And so the dementias of aging, which are usually we consider neurodegenerative, that means nerve cells are being lost over time, are seen in seniors or people at age. Not always, sometimes before 60 or 65 or even earlier, but in general with aging.
So what is this plaque business, the amyloid and the plaques?
Well, the amyloid plaque is unique to Alzheimer's disease. So the pathology, the molecular pathology of Alzheimer's disease involves this amyloid. As the disease progresses, amyloid coalesces and forms these blobs of protein called plaque.
And what do they look like if you're looking at them?
Well, if you look on it at a light microscope, you'll see these blobs of protein which stain with red stains.
Uh-huh. And Lewy body does not have that?
Lewy body does not have that. Now, Lewy body has a different protein abnormality which shares with Parkinson's disease, and it's called alpha-synuclein. The long word, but it's a protein that becomes abnormal in Lewy body and in Parkinson's disease.
And is there any hope in the research? Is there anything promising?
Well, right now, as far as I know, there isn't anything promising in any of these neurodegenerative diseases. I mean, we know more about the molecules that become abnormal, which I mentioned, alpha-synuclein. There's some very recent research, which is quite interesting. It shows that these abnormal proteins propagate from one cell to another. So they begin in one part of the brain, and they go along the nerve pathways to other areas and involve other areas as these diseases progress. And they all do this, which is interesting.
So if you were a guessing man and had to guess what the cure was going to be, where do you think we're going to find it? What area?
I think we're going to find it in the regulation of these proteins and stopping the propagation of these proteins from starting areas such as in Alzheimer's in the memory area and then spreads to other areas,
mm-hmm.
or in alpha-synuclein that starts in the brainstem and goes elsewhere. Frontotemporal disease, same thing. And so understanding how these proteins propagate, how they talk to each other and extend themselves. Is probably, you know, it's interesting parallels in prion diseases, which do the same thing. You know, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, mad cow disease, has a prion protein that becomes abnormal. So they all share this same principle. If we understood how to manage that, I think would be an important.
Is the government investing enough money in all of this?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. There's only 1/10 of cancer support, and yet this is a much bigger problem than cancer.
Could I just ask one more quick question?
Sure.
Is it some of the stuff I've read says that it is hereditary? Some of them say not. Now, my husband had dyslexia as a child. He's doing real well with that as an older person now, really. And his grandmother had some kind of disease that led her to be in a facility for the insane long, long ago, Bridgewater. And I was just wondering if there is hereditary.
As far as I know, that there's no data to support hereditary.
None.
For Alzheimer's?
For Lewy body.
Or Lewy body.
As far as I
Lewy
know.
Lewy body.
Yeah.
But I
very
don't know
good.
What
okay.
Well, Vicki,
okay.
Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right, and we'll now go to Elise. I think it's Elise. Is that
yes.
right? Yeah.
Elise? Yes, it is. Hi, doctor.
Hi.
My question is about wheat. I recently read in the Wheat Belly book and also in a couple of other sources. There may be a correlation between eating wheat because of the changes in wheat and Alzheimer's and dementia. I was wondering if you looked at that research and your thoughts on it.
I don't know the answer to that. I know a lot of people like to go gluten-free, but I really don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that there's some data on diet that was done in Colombia looking at Mediterranean-style diet. Olive oil, lean meat, and so forth, cruciferous vegetables was a better diet, but I don't know about wheat. Good question.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Elise. Okay. We now have a couple of free phones. Let's go to Randy in Middletown, 1-800-348-2551. Randy, you're on.
Thank you. I have a mom who's 86, and she's got the beginnings of dementia. It hasn't been diagnosed as Alzheimer's, but she forgets. And when she forgets, she is cognitive of the fact that she has forgotten, and she seeks help in remembering. My question is, am I helping or hindering by offering her an answer that she's struggling for?
She's asking you for it. I give it to her. Patients who are people who are asking for help, appreciate it. There are a lot of them that don't appreciate it, and they get mad at you and get frustrated. So I think
I can yell that when I don't know the answer to what she wants to say.
Well, that's a little of a challenge. But
no, but I just didn't know if it was better for her to work within herself to find that answer or whether it was better for me to assist her. And you know, I'm looking for what's best to help her maintain what cognitive compatibility or what she has to offer.
Yeah, I don't think it makes any difference you're helping or not helping. We're going to improve her disease. It's going to continue probably. But in terms of her well-being and happiness, frustration level, helping her probably is a good idea. She's inviting it.
Good question,
okay.
Randy. Thanks very much for making it. Appreciate it.
Yep, have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay, and we'll go to Anitra in Craigsmore. Okay, Craigsmore. Okay, Anitra, you're on.
Thank you so much. I have a question about genetic testing. My dad got Alzheimer's probably in his early 70s, or early to mid 70s, and you know, of course, it's a terrible way to go, and everybody in my family is like nervous about, well, are we going to get it? And there's some kind of genetic testing to see if you have a propensity for it. And I wanted to find out what the doctor has
okay,
to say
so,
about that.
So let me ask you this. Is any other family members with Alzheimer's disease? Is your father, right?
It was my father. And
any of his siblings?
No.
Okay, and have a grandparent?
Oh, did he have others? No, but on my mother's side, one of her sisters had Alzheimer's.
Okay, well, that doesn't count so much. So my question is, you know, is this a dominant disease? That means half the people in several generations have this disease, and the answer is no. So
right.
there are some families that have hereditary dominant Alzheimer's disease. So half the people at risk for the disease, and they're rare. Less than 1% of Alzheimer's disease is due to hereditary dominant disease. So
wow.
This is not the question. Those we can test for, by the way. But in general, having a father, mother, sister, or brother, a primary family member with Alzheimer's, your lifetime risk is 30% compared to 10% if you didn't have that family history. So you see it's a risk, but it's not determinant.
Okay.
So there's no genetic test that will help in this regard.
So there isn't an Alzheimer's gene that we know about?
There are a lot of little genes that have to do with Alzheimer's, but there are a whole bunch of them, and they only count for a small percent.
Okay. Hey, Anitra, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Can I ask one other question?
Sure. Go ahead.
I've been so fascinated by all the myth-busting that's been going on the show, and I wondered, is there any research on amalgam fillings, or are there any...
No, that's been discredited also.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Amalgam fillings, yeah, that's old.
Oh, yeah. You mean... You mean like
the old drill star fillings?
Yeah, right. I know a guy, a very famous guy, who had all his teeth removed.
A lot of people do a lot of funny things.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. A lot of people do funny things.
Are there other things that have been discredited, and do they know what causes it besides age?
Causes what?
Causes it besides
age.
AIDS, AIDS.
Oh, age.
Age.
Age is a major risk factor. Obviously, it's like getting old is not a good idea. But then,
what are the choices? Well, there are choices.
But there are. That's another subject. Mm-hmm. At age 65, it's about 7 to 9% of the population. It's still pretty common at 65. At 75, it's 25% of the population. It's Alzheimer's disease. At 85, it's 50%. So as you see, it goes way up. And this is why we have so much Alzheimer's. The population's getting older.
Sure.
People didn't live so long.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that was your other question, and now you're off. Thanks, Anitra.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Okay, and we'll go to Sharon now. Sharon, you're on.
Hi, doctors. I have my mom, who I believe is developing Alzheimer's, and she does not want to deal with it. And I'm just wondering, is that something I should be kind of fighting her on and encouraging her greatly to address it, or is it just is what it is and Don't stress her out.
So let me see if I get this straight. Are you worried that she might take her life? Is that what the issue is?
No.
Oh, okay.
She shouldn't take her life. But
well, when you
won't.
Said she doesn't want to deal with it, didn't know what that meant.
She doesn't want to go to
the doctor. She doesn't want to be told that she has dementia or Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Her mother suffered from it.
Classic question, right?
Yeah, so it's a classic question, and we deal with this all the time.
Okay.
So a patient shows up at my office, she's with her daughter. I said, why are you here? My daughter brought me.
Right.
Because it's a fear of losing autonomy, for one thing. You know, we won't be labeled as demented, and people regard you differently. The problem in not identifying and not recognizing this is also in your part, because as well as her part, because people get into the moderate stage of the disease and they get into trouble, you know. So the first thing you know, they're in the ER because they've mixed up their medicines, or they're wandering off somewhere, or they're, you know, or somebody stole all their money, you know, they fell for all kinds of things. And so these are the problems of protecting the individual and helping them deal with it.
So that's a good reason to get diagnosed.
It is good, and to deal with it, because you need advanced directives and on and to prevent problems.
Yeah, because there are a lot of people who would rather not know.
True.
Right. Yeah. Is that something that I could broach her primary care during a visit?
You may.
Okay.
If you get hopefully the doctor will want to deal with it. Some doctors don't want to deal with it because there's all kinds of issues around that. But a lot of primaries will help you deal with that.
Okay. Hey.
Okay.
So, with the Alzheimer's Association, for that matter.
Well, you go right to the Alzheimer's Association.
I would.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Sharon, thanks very much. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye bye.
I'm still struck by what you said before, which was Earl, which was that this is a much bigger problem than cancer.
Oh, huge.
Huge.
Breaking the bank.
Yeah.
We can't afford it now.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll go to Kim in Northampton. Okay, Kim.
Yes. Hi, Doc. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about a housemate of mine who's in her late 60s, and last year she was having some weird symptoms, and she thought it was a result of having had Lyme, an episode with Lyme, and she took the antibiotics. Anyway, she ended up going to a neurologist. He did a scan of her brain and found hyperintensities.
Yeah.
And since then, she's gone to a Lyme specialist and has done lots of work on that, found out she no longer is carrying the Lyme, may get it again in the future, but that is not the issue anymore. But the hyperintensity, she's had two more scans of her brain, are slowly growing. But the neurologist doesn't seem to have an answer as to what it is. He's just like, well, just keep monitoring it. And she does have a lot of increased forgetfulness, and she's just racking that up to being in her late 60s. And I was wondering, is there any connection between these hyperintensities in the brain and Alzheimer's?
Okay, this is a common issue. So, like, how's she doing? Is she getting worse with her forgetfulness?
I would say yes, and she, yes.
What was the weird stuff?
Well, it's, you know, it's more than just the keys. It's like everything. Like, if it's not your keys, then it's her shoes. If it's going out of the house and, like, why am I out here? Oh, yeah, I got to go back. And, like, it can take a simple thing, what would take her a half hour to get ready to do, start her day, is now like a two-hour thing.
Okay.
It takes, yeah, to keep everything, and we're organizing things so that, you know, they're very clear and the day is set out and things are written down. And I get it, why you wouldn't want to go to the doctor and take the test to see, you know, if your dementia is ramping up. But if she has these hyperintensities,
okay, so,
is that a clear connection?
Yeah, okay, we're going to get a short answer. So, yeah. My guess is that these hyperintensities, there are white matter, fluffy white matter changes, are extremely common on scans. They're often associated with hypertension and diabetes. Sometimes they're associated with nothing, as I can know. And it's a very complex question, but I'm going to guess that it's probably she has Alzheimer's disease plus whatever, you know, these white matter changes may not be important. They may not be important. I would readdress the course and the memory loss.
Well, is the real thing you can say to somebody that if you get tested early enough, there's medication, definite, you know, medication out there that can help stave off or mitigate Alzheimer's if you get it early enough.
True? You can do exercise and vitamins. I think exercise, I'm really big on that. It's the one thing that helps. And also treat hypertension, diabetes, et cetera. So there are a number of chronic diseases that you can help.
Okay. But none of the medications that are out there right now are really...
None are going to really stop it if it's Alzheimer's.
No. Okay. Thank you very much.
Tim, thank you for the call.
Yep. Thanks.
We're going to take a very short break. 7 seconds or so. We'll be right back.
Support comes from St. Mary's Healthcare, Amsterdam, New York, offering minimally invasive spine surgery. Choose stmarys.com. Adelphi University's Hudson Valley Center, Poughkeepsie, offering a graduate program in social work and graduate and undergraduate programs in nursing. Adelphi.edu. Ellis Medicine, a comprehensive community healthcare network offering appointments and referrals to over 600 physicians, reinventing healthcare one patient at a time. 1-844-518-DOCS. MySci, Museum of Innovation and Science, presenting Making Sense of Sound from San Francisco's Exploratorium and Grossology, interactive games and hands-on exhibits, MISCI.org. And the Digital Berkshire Eagle, an online newspaper for news and information of the Berkshires and beyond, noinkyfingers.com.
We're back with Dr. Earl Zimmerman, a great hero in our area, a man who has devoted his life to helping folks with dementia, Alzheimer's, you name it, and he's been there, and he's the guy. And we're so lucky to have him here today with us. Okay, Earl, what we're going to do now is all five phones are ringing, so what I want to do is do this as a lightning round, meaning people should ask their question, we'll answer, and we'll get off of it, okay? Then we'll try to get everybody in.
Okay.
Is that all right with you? Okay. So we'll go to Mark in Woodstock. Okay, Mark in Woodstock, you're on. Ask your question.
Hello, Dr. Zimmerman. Thank you. Wonder if there's a connection between diet and Alzheimer's disease, especially regarding artificial ingredients, additives in food, and such.
Okay, good question. Answer.
Don't know.
We don't know.
But, you know, in terms of diet, obesity is a bad thing because you get diabetes, and that's bad for Alzheimer's. And I talked about the Mediterranean-style diet before.
Yeah, what about it?
It's good for you.
It is. Okay. Mark, anything else?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Okay, let's go to Christine in Waterville. Okay, Christine, you're on.
Thank you, doctor, so much for all you're doing. And my mom is 96. She's in a facility on a floor, really, with all dementia patients. And I remember 3 years ago, she fell, went into the hospital, and then went into nursing home care. But prior to the fall, she was her primary recommended medication for her, and you may have addressed this a couple calls ago, but I wonder if she had started, I mean, she absolutely refused medication, but which could have been part of is the dementia there, but just wondered if medication would have slowed it down, done anything.
Probably not.
No.
Okay. I mean, you know, everybody's always searching for answers, and you
yeah.
know.
I mean, we treat depression if you had, you know, antidepressants can help. Psychosis, we treat if they help. It doesn't sound like that was the issue. Was
how about nightmares? Nightmares.
The
Alzheimer's patients traditionally get nightmares.
If they take Aricept, they do. If they take, does that medication cause nightmares?
What is Aricept?
That's the long-standing drug for Alzheimer's.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Thank you.
Christine,
thank you both.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. And let's go to Jess in Great Barrington. Hi, Jess. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I have genetic Alzheimer's in my family. My mom's 50 and her dad got it at 65. And I've heard about research, you know, the third diabetes of the brain, you know, causing Alzheimer's and how coconut oil might help that. I know there was a neurologist in, like, Minnesota who got her early onset Alzheimer's husband, you know, up to 8 tablespoons a day. I was just wondering how you felt about either of those subjects, and I'm going to get off the phone.
No, stay there, Jess. Stay there for 1 minute,
questions?
Jess.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
What was that?
There were two questions.
Stay there, Jess. Yeah.
There were two questions. The first question?
Yeah. Oh, coconut oil.
Oh, coconut oil. Yeah. It just doesn't do anything. It's been studied.
Doesn't do anything. Okay, that's this. So, and what was the second one, Jess?
Just, you know, if it would help at all. You know, I'm trying to prevent it.
Are you sure there's a gene, or does it sound like there's a gene?
Well, I don't know which genes I would test for,
How many people in the family involved?
Probably like 6 on my mother's side got Alzheimer's.
And how many generations?
The great-grandmother, all of her kids, including my grandfather. So.
And your parents?
No, my mom's not old enough to start showing signs.
Oh, so is this your grandparents?
Yes.
Besides that, any aunts and uncles, or are there other people and cousins?
No.
Okay, so I'm not convinced that this is hereditary. Oh. You don't have enough information to know, but it'd be worth exploring somewhere with genealogists or something.
Glad you called. Oh. Thanks, Jess. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Right. And let's go to Susan in Williamstown. Susan in Williamstown, you're on.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. It's an interesting show. I'm wondering about brain training. I keep hearing advertisements for a new approach to preserving, I guess, cognitive function. I'm wondering if you've heard of any data or if there are any results that indicate the brain training is useful for mitigating dementia.
That's a problem. There's not much data. So a lot of people are selling these things that make money, and, you know, I don't know whether they're doing anything or not. I would like to think so.
I mean, every time you get a big problem, cancer or this or that, there's always somebody who says, "I got an answer. Give me the money."
But just not convinced that this, you know.
Yeah. Well, I respect you for that, Susan. Anything else?
No. My other question was going to be if there's a particular age to start doing it, but it sounds like there's really not compelling reason to do it unless you want to do it. So,
but Earl, before you discuss the natural aging, that when you get older, you can't do things that you might have been able to do before. So you sort of said to me, well, that's natural aging. Is that right? In other words, we all know somebody's 95. I knew Pete Seeger when he was 95 years old, right till the very end. He could remember a lot of different songs. I can't anymore. Yeah, so.
Well, there's some general decline, but it
depends
pretty,
on how severe.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Howard on the road. Okay. Go ahead, Howard.
So there's a lot of things I read on PubMed about diabetes having an effect on Alzheimer's.
Yep.
Some people even call it type 3 diabetes. wonder if you could explain that.
Yes, good. Good question. So actually, a couple of years ago, a diabetologist and I, Jim Desimone, wrote an editorial about this because he's an endocrinologist, diabetologist. And it's a very important subject. So the combination of diabetes type 2 and Alzheimer's and dementia is not a good thing. They're not good bedfellows. And it's very interesting why that is. And it's also the aerobic exercise, which is good for diabetes and knocking down insulin resistance, is good for early Alzheimer's and mild cognitive impairment. And part of the reason is that, well, the brain gets insulin resistance like the rest of the. Why should the brain be separate from the rest of the body, the heart, the kidneys, the peripheral nerves? And so the better treatment, the better the diabetes is, the better the nervous system is going to be. Now, we realize now that insulin goes into the brain, and the brain uses insulin. And interestingly, the brain uses insulin at the synapse, that where nerve cells communicate. And guess what else is in there? The amyloid. So the amyloid and insulin compete. So if insulin's not working right, the amyloid's going to raise havoc. So it's a very interesting combination.
And have we seen experiments in which diabetics get insulin and their problems?
Well, there's a research project going on now looking at insulin administration to the nose. I'm not doing that, but some other researchers are doing that to see whether that helps. It's going to be interesting to see what makes a difference.
Yeah, Howard, great question. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
I have one more question. I read where they took a severely diabetic person and remove their white belly fat and their cognitive function improved. Do you know anything about that? I mean, is there...
This is sort of a preliminary experiment. Yeah.
Well, we do know that when they do some of these fat removal things, for want of a better word, that people's diabetes gets improved. We do know that.
Yeah.
So if Dr. Zimmerman is correct in this, and I think he probably is there's this relationship between diabetes. I wouldn't be surprised that what you've just mentioned is an outcome.
Possible.
Yeah.
So that's why all us middle-aged men are trying to get rid of our belly fat?
Well, I've succeeded.
Okay.
It was a little joke
there.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, so we got a couple of free phones here now, and if you want to try us, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Tim, in Gilderland. All right, Tim in Gilderland, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I had heard that early onset Alzheimer's is more aggressive and more pernicious than if you got it later in life when you're older. Is that true? And if... Why is that?
You know, that's a general saw. That's a general idea. But I see a lot of people at various ages with onset of Alzheimer's at different ages. I've seen people in their 40s and 50s and 60s
really?
And 70s. And I have my impression is that that's maybe not quite so true. Everybody's very different, you know, and some people older onset are more aggressive than earlier onset. One of the interesting things about early onset, so I have a patient who's like 55 or 60 who presents with a dementia. I'm going to be suspicious that they have a different dementia from Alzheimer's disease off the bat, you know, more like a frontotemporal dementia, which is the second most common group of dementias. And they are much more aggressive dementias. So I don't know the answer to that. I'm not so sure.
Interesting. Thank you very much, Tim and Gilbert.
Thank you.
Appreciate it a lot. Okay. We are taking them as fast as they're coming in, and they're coming in fast. Okay. Now we're going to get this next piece of yellow paper right up on the board. Okay, that's right. And now from Ellen in Latham. All right, Ellen, you're on.
Hi, thank you very much.
Sure.
My father died of what they said was Parkinson's, but what... doctor who was also a researcher thought was free Lewy body disease. And I was wondering, I mean, how much do free Lewy body people, do they show a lot of the same things as Parkinson's? Because
okay.
It sounded like from what you were describing.
Okay, good. Ellen, stop there because we're sort of running out of time. But, doctor,
okay.
Go ahead.
So Parkinson's disease starts with a movement disorder, you know, tremor or rigidity, often more one limb than another, and goes on for years and years and years, maybe 10 years. And then they develop dementia, 8 years in, 9 years in.
Interesting.
So the dementia in Parkinson's disease comes late in Parkinson's
disease. Is it always they develop dementia or sometimes?
A lot of them develop dementia.
Okay.
The more we look, the more we find. So it's late in the disease. So in Lewy body disease, the dementia starts early and the Parkinsonism comes a little later, usually, and hallucinations start early. So clinically, you should be able to tell them apart. So we have to know more about the history.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Ellen.
It seems like it all happened at the same time, but that could be because he was in very good shape. So,
yeah, sometimes we don't get all the history either. So,
you know, it's interesting. The one thing I remember about the car guys so well is some lady called up and said, "What are the chances that both of my headlights went out at the same time?" And they started to laugh, and they said, "Lady, you've been riding around with one headlight out for about 6 months, probably." So thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's go to Werner in Stone Ridge. Werner, you're on.
Yes, Dr. Zimmerman. I had chemo 3 times already for non-Hodgkin's, and now I've got some reports about a thing called chemo brain, which, of course, gives Alzheimer's also. Are you hearing about that?
How's your brain working?
Not too good. I've been buying bread the other day and sitting in the back of the car trying to get it home, so until I realized I was sitting in the back.
So chemo brain occurs at the time of the chemotherapy. And then when chemotherapy stops, it often gets better. It usually doesn't continue.
Well, I had it 3 times, and I had stem cell, and I forget things short-term. 10 seconds, later, it comes back, you know.
Yeah, when was your last chemo?
About 5 years ago.
And it's getting better or worse? Oh, the stem cells.
It's about the same.
Okay, so it's probably fixed. So the chemo came at the time of the chemo, and it's not progressing. If it was Alzheimer's, it would be progressing now, you know, beyond the... Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right. Let's go to Donna in Averill Park. Okay, Donna, ask a question.
My grandmother started developing dementia in her late 60s. Her sister also developed dementia in her early 70s. My mother started developing dementia in her late 70s. I'd like to know specifically what gene is associated with Alzheimer's and where can I be tested?
We have 2 generations, your grandmother and your mother, right?
Right, right.
And nothing else. And nobody else? No other family members?
My grandmother's sister.
Yeah, you told me that. Anybody else? Or?
No,
okay.
No.
So chances are this is probably not hereditary. This is probably not dominant, what we know of your family, anyway. So,
and also, I wanted to ask about vascular dementia.
Okay.
My grandmother became very hard of hearing early and lost her sight, and they said it was a vascular issue that caused her to lose her sight. So is that related to dementia as well?
Well, it's a cause of dementia, but it's vascular. It's not Alzheimer's disease.
How can you tell the difference?
Well, if you had strokes, that helps. If you do a brain scan, an MRI brain scan can help looking for strokes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's complicated.
Okay, and what would be the earliest signs of dementia as opposed to just, you know, common aging?
Early. So how early?
No, what I'm saying is that as we age, you know, everybody said, "Oh, I put my keys down. Where did I put them?"
Yeah.
Which is very different from my mother, who is constantly losing things.
Yeah, she's probably got a
so if it's
hands.
Sporadic, that's one thing. At what point do we start to seek medical treatment?
Well, probably should start early on.
Well, the question is, what treatment?
Because if it's vascular, you want to treat the vascular.
Oh,
disease.
Vascular. Oh, sure.
Vascular
sure.
disease.
Sure.
If it's mild cognitive impairment, early Alzheimer's, you're probably going to give them aerobic exercise, among other things.
That's the best thing.
Okay.
That's the best thing.
So to get tested to see if there's a vascular...
You should see a neurologist.
Okay.
They can do that stuff.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Okay. Thank you, Donna. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm so sorry, everybody. We're out of time, and I want to thank Jim from Matamoros, who was talking about virus and dementia. Do we think there's anything viral about dementia, Earl?
Well, you can have a viral encephalitis. You can have a viral infection that cause herpes infection in the brain. Sure, mm-hmm. Can cause dementia.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sorry, everybody, that is still on the line. We are delighted that we have Earl Zimmerman with us. I could have him here every week just doing an Alzheimer's show. But, Earl, I know how busy you are and how much you've done for everybody, and I want to thank you for that. Support for Medical Monday comes from Toprosyn, creams designed to heal muscle aches, back, neck, and shoulder pain, injuries, carpal tunnel, and more. Toprosyn.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us today on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Aubrey Mulvey. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Make sure you take WAMC with you. It's so easy, and it's such a wonderful thing to have on your iPhone or any of that stuff. Just go to the iTunes or Google Play App Store and search for WAMC install. It's great. You should have it. I walk with it for an hour and listen to it. In any case, I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.